Back together again, you and I chatting it up Thursday style, June the 25th, 2026, right here on Connecticut Today. I looked at assertions from town officials in Fairfield that six speed cameras put up in school zones are pretty much doing their jobs. And we were also joined by former State Senate Republican leader John McKinney, analyzing and breaking down the latest Connecticut politics buzz and the gubernatorial campaigns.
Yes. I'm already getting yelled at. And that's fine. That's what I'm here for Monday through Friday, 2 to 6, right here on WICC 600 AM, 95.9 FM, and of course online, voiceofct.com. I'm already getting yelled at. Maybe it was the way that I phrased our question of the day. And our question of the day is this, that we'll hop into the story I saw this at today, and fine, I'm sure we'll get into it again over and over and over here. Fairfield, the town of Fairfield, says school zone speed cameras have cut speeding by 83%. Are you convinced about the cameras yet? Now, maybe people are a little upset with me because I then did something when I posted the question about an hour ago that I normally don't like to do. I poked the bear a little bit. I did a little bit of a strut there. I put a little smiley face. I didn't say LOL, laugh out loud, whatever. But I said, hey, are you convinced about the cameras yet, with a little smiley face? We referred to this story here by Eric Bednar in the Connecticut Post. Police Chief Michael Parris is touting the new school zone speed camera system as a success, citing a significant reduction in, of course, speeders. How about that? During the warning period, when the tickets were not being issued, just warnings, there were more than 94,000 warnings issued. Did you hear that? For people blowing through there, 94,000. Parris made that assertion during a Board of Education, Board of Selectmen meeting, rather, on Tuesday. Since transitioning to live enforcement, that number has plummeted to about 8,000 between June 1 and June 16. So they work. The cameras work. If you don't want to pay a ticket, stay the you-know-what away from the cameras. Or if for some reason you have to drive that way, or it's mandatory that you go that way, slow down. All told, the police in Fairfield say that there's been a reduction of about 83% in speeding in school zones with cameras since the program began. And I already have people on social media saying, well, it's because school is out. Well, so what? The idea is you want to get people to get used to saying, oh, I better slow down here because this is where the cameras are. That, again, that you're looking for a Pavlovian response here. And again, my town doesn't have speed cameras. I'm sure they're going to get them eventually. And when they do, I will make a note and maybe put a little sticky wicky note on my steering wheel, on the dashboard, right above or below the radio here. Tune to WICC, of course, all the time. And I'm going to remind myself, hey, I'm going to look at that and say, oh, yeah, if I'm going there, if I'm going that way, got to slow down. I don't understand what the problem is with this. And by the way, to the people that call me up and say, well, you know what would slow down traffic? Live cops. There. All right, you can't have enough live police. There are not enough live police on the staffs of many of these towns to just sit there with the lights on and slow people down, because yeah, they'll speed up once they get through the area, but unless you hit them in the pocketbook or the wallet, they ain't gonna care. Parris, pushing back on criticism, said the town took, quote, extraordinary steps, unquote, to ensure the program was fair, including voluntarily limiting citations upon the implementation of enforcement. Over the past several weeks, the police department has received significant criticism related to the speed camera program, which Parrish says he understands and comes with any new law enforcement. You can criticize all you want. Just slow the F down. What am I missing here? Please explain this to me. And listen, I love you people. I know there are people that don't want this stuff, but what am I missing? What am I missing? What am I missing here? 203-333-9422, 333-WICC. What the hell am I missing here? They tell you where the cameras are. There are signs where the cameras are. You know what it is? I'm telling you. A lot of you people who bitch and moan and cry and whine about this, you just know that eventually you're going to get caught. Yeah, I get it. I'll probably get caught too someday. And that'll reinforce my thinking of saying, hey, you better slow down here. This is like these cameras are hidden in a bush somewhere. Or there's the evil big state here in D.C. or in Connecticut or in Milford or Bridgeport or Hartford or New Haven or whatever that just says, hey, let's set up speed traps there. If you read the legislation and if you delve or dive deeply into how the thing is set up, there are no surprises here. They've been telling you for months, this is how it's going to be. You know what I think, honestly? Well, I'll tell you what I think when I come back. And I mean this with all the love in my heart, but sometimes you got to have an intervention here. And I think we better have it today. 203-333-9422, 333-WICC. Fairfield says, no matter whether school is in session or not, that's not the issue. They claim that they looked at the numbers, and they said speed zone cameras have cut speeding by 83%. Are you in any way convinced yet that this is a good idea? All right, the comments and the text messages coming in hot and heavy on this one when Fairfield and the police there have said that speeding has dropped by about 83 or 85% in the areas that the speed cameras have been warning people about and now have been turned on. Well, yeah. Now, the funny thing I'm seeing, and I'm not trying to belittle people here, but some people have commented here already, and you can give us a call and get the phone parade underway if you'd like at 333-9422. People are calling in, texting in or putting the notes on our Facebook page saying, well, as soon as they pass the area, they speed back up again. Well, yeah, that's what happens. Whether it's a speed camera, whether it's a cop, of course, you slow down until you can't see the cop anymore, and then you lead foot it. Maybe not lead-footing it, but you go to 10 or 15 miles an hour, again, above the speed limit. It's natural. I get it. I understand it. But the idea is, whether it's the summertime, the spring, the winter, the fall, school year or not school year, whether school's in session or not, the idea is to train yourself or yourselves to understand that, you've got to slow down. I just got a text from somebody who said, now, this is interesting, and this is exactly what a lot of people are going to be doing here. From one of our folks who comments and texts a lot. Paul, I just commented on this on your post. Luckily, during the 30-day warm-up period, I only got a warning while I was traveling in Fairfield south on Reading Road from the Merritt area toward I-95. Evidently, I was over the limit when I passed the Dwight Elementary School. Note, these cameras are not on short aluminum posts, but up on utility poles about 20 feet up. Not only was I unaware of the school, I also assumed the road was 40 miles an hour. Given how big it is, it's not. It's 25 miles an hour. Now, and here's the key here, now I slow down and Waze helps remind me that the cameras are present long before I see the posted sign. So there you go. Somebody who's a loyal listener and texter and commenter to this program And they said, yeah, this person, this guy or this gal, don't know who it is. I have remained, they have remained somewhat anonymous, and that's fine. He said, hey, I've changed my behavior, and that's what the cops want you to do with this. Is this the be-all and end-all? No, of course it's not. Of course you can't catch everybody. Of course. Well, now with this, you could actually, at least on those areas. In fact, you could argue. People say, well, put more cops out there. Cops can only stop one person at a time. You think everybody driving by that roadside stop with a cop going, ah, ha, 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 you think they're all suddenly notching it down to the speed limit? No. If anything, assuming whatever kinks there are in this thing, if anything, if those are worked out, isn't this kind of the fairest way to do this? It's not points on your license. It's lower for a first offense. Gets higher for the second, third, fourth, and fifth offenses. I'm sure there will be people that'll be like that. And there is an appeal process. Because how many times, and listen, I've gotten written up for speeding and some other stuff during the years. How many times do you say, well, you know, you didn't stop that guy that just knocked your hat off, trooper so-and-so. But they can't. Because that's selective. This is not selective. Apparently, if the cameras are, and that's a big if the cameras are calibrated properly, you get stopped. Or you don't get stopped, you get the ticket. What am I missing here? 203-333-9422, 333-WICC. Ken kicks us off today in Bridgeport. Ken, how you doing, man? What's up?
Hey, how's it going? A couple of things before you hang up. Why don't they think about putting speed bumps in the school zones? That would slow traffic down.
I don't know. Maybe they figure that they want to hit people in the wallet first or do it, that way. I don't know. I don't know.
I'm in Fairfield now. I just went by a private school, and they had no cameras. Mm-hmm. It seems like only the town schools have it, but not this private school.
Apparently, Ken, the way this was set up is the state made the chiefs of police and the town leaders get together and say, now, there are other areas where they do it away from schools, but I think the state put the emphasis first on school zones, Ken, and then where there may have been numerous accidents or deaths. I'm pretty sure that's the way they ranked how they put this together. Yeah.
So they should put speed bumps on 95. I saw those racers that are going like 100 miles per hour. Even between tractor trailers.
I swear to God, and Ken, thank you. I appreciate it, man. Going home the other night, man, on either 95 in New Haven or 91. A white BMW, like a 6 Series or a 5 Series Beamer with the blacked out windows and everything, had to be going 100 miles an hour, weaving exactly as Ken said, in and out of traffic. Here's the problem. If you put those cameras on the turnpike or on the Merritt or on 84, everybody will get a ticket. They would machine gun those tickets out 24/7, 365, which is not necessarily a bad idea. Laurie and Trumbull, hang on first. This on WICC. And a gentleman who's been on this radio station for 97 of those years. No, I'm kidding. A real mover and shaker still in the area, former Republican state Senate leader and former gubernatorial candidate, and currently panelist on the outstanding program there with Tom Dudchick and all his buddies, Liz Karantowicz, Dan Harz on the program sometimes, too. The Capital Report, Connecticut Capital Report, every Sunday, 10:30 on News 8. John McKinney's with us. John, good afternoon. How are you, man?
I'm doing well, Paul. How are you?
Not too bad. Is the governor's campaign sweating a little bit? I mean, you have these in-person, I guess, behind-closed-door pitches today, John, from the governor and from Josh Elliott to the AFL-CIO. And Elliott picks up a pretty nice endorsement from the SEIU folks yesterday. What do you think here?
I don't think they're sweating, but they are taking the Josh Elliott, challenge very seriously.
Yeah.
I think, you know, we saw more movement towards the Democratic Socialist wing of the party in New York City, places like that. I really don't think that is where the Connecticut Democrats are. But no, I think they're taking it very seriously. The governor's been up on the air with two campaign ads. Josh Elliott is before the Elections Enforcement Commission, I believe, on July 1st with his grant. Mm-hmm. So he's going to be up on the air with $3 million for about a 4, maybe 5 week period. So the race is going to get tighter. It's going to get closer. I expect Josh Elliott's ads to be, if not completely attacking Governor Lamont, mm-hmm. there will be attacks on Governor Lamont in through his ads because he is behind now. But it's going to tighten up before August 11th.
If you're advising Josh Elliott, which I wouldn't imagine you would be, John, but if you're advising Josh Elliott, does he have to strike a balance between attacking Ned Lamont, who people know for whatever you think of him? You kind of know who Ned Lamont is, kind of a guy who comes over with an everyday persona, despite the hundreds of millions of dollars he and his wife and kids are worth. He's going to say he's done some decent things. But if you're Josh Elliott, what do you do, John? Do you split it between saying, hey, I'm Josh Elliott, give me a look, and by the way, the other guy's been here too long? Is that how you do it?
Probably, but with a condensed time period of only maybe 4 or 5 weeks mm-hmm. on the air, he's got to really convince people that Governor Lamont isn't who they think he is and isn't the answer to their problems for the next 4 years. I think you're going to see Josh Elliott. His number one issue is going to be tax fairness. Mm-hmm. People in the middle class pay a higher percentage of their state and local taxes than the wealthy do. And if we only tax the wealthy, which Governor Lamont is against doing, mm-hmm. all our problems would be solved in Connecticut. That's the message he's going to hit. Affordability, I think, is a very important issue. And I think you're going to see Governor Lamont talk to people about what he's done to help them with affordability and what he's going to continue to do in the future.
John McKinney, the guest, joins us every Thursday at about this time. What about the governor's rolling up the sleeves ad? You see that one, John? He's rolling up the sleeves. But it's weird because he's getting criticism mostly from Ryan Fazio saying, well, wait a minute. And I'm kind of paraphrasing here. He's been around for almost 8 years now. Why this newly found come to Jesus moment about look at all the stuff we're getting? And again, the governor's bona fides as a progressive, at least on social issues, I think they're there. Now, whether or not they resonate enough, John, you know, the rolling up the sleeves thing I found. All right. What'd you think?
Well, yeah, I like the ads. You know, I think throughout his career, Governor Lamont has come up with some really edgy ads. Mm-hmm. I don't think this is an edgy ad, but what all his ads have in common is they show him authentically who he is. There's no fakeness to it.
No.
And so people do like him. And you watch that ad and you say, I like this guy. Yeah, he's done some things. It is interesting, Paul. We have three politicians running for governor, and each one is saying the other person hasn't done anything in office. Josh Elliott's been in office longer than Ned Lamont.
Yeah.
And he's saying, well, the governor hasn't done anything, but Josh Elliott hasn't done anything. So it's kind of interesting.
I was kidding with our friend Dan Haar the other day, yesterday in the segment. Don't know whether you heard it, but I pronounced, as you know, the other rabble-rousing talk show hosts around the state and country app, and I say that with tongue in cheek. But, John, with the winning on primary night in New York the other night with three decidedly left-of-center candidates and, you know, strafing into the anti-Semitic territory, is the old-time Democratic Party now dead?
I don't know that it's dead, but it's reeling. Now, also in New York, there was a congressman, Richie Torres, who did beat back a socialist challenger. Mm-hmm. Look, I think when you really drill down who's voting for Mamdani, who voted for these socialists, you're really looking at mostly white, college-educated, under 30.
Uh-huh.
That's not, you know, the heart of America. That's not going to really win in a lot of areas in this country. So I think it may be something a little unique, but I do think, you know, you said kind of scraping into anti-Semitism. Mm. No, it's full-blown anti-Semitism.
Yeah.
And we're seeing a little bit of that on the far right, but we're seeing mm-hmm. much more of that in the mainstream left wing of the Democratic Party. And it's really sad for me.
You know, yeah. And listen, everybody's free to criticize Israel, but some of the stuff, John, is crazy. And if you're the Republicans, you know, by the time the look, I think they're going to get beat back pretty well in the midterms. But if you're 2028 Republicans and whoever it's going to be, Marco Rubio or probably J.D. Vance and whoever, they say Ted Cruz now is writing a campaign. I can imagine all three of them saying something to the effect, John, of, well, OK, Mr. Trump's gone. So we're starting anew here. We'll keep some of the policies, but we'll do it in a moderate way because they're crazy. The other side is getting crazier by the day, right?
Yeah, well, it's interesting, right? Democrats have used Trump against Republican candidates across the country.
Yeah.
And now I think these socialist Democrats in New York City have given Republicans from Texas all across the Midwest someone that they can put on their, you know, Democratic challenger. Just quick example, one of the Democrat socialists who won the other night on October 8th, the day after you know, Israelis were killed and attacked and raped and murdered, came out and cheered it. Oh. There hadn't even been an Israeli response yet. So that candidate is now going to be used by, you know, Ken Paxton in Texas and other Republicans running around the country. And, you know, you're going to see Democrats say, but Trump, and Republicans are going to say they're socialists. And, you know, we're probably not even going to talk about the real issues, which matter, like affordability.
John McKinney, catch him this Sunday morning, 10:30, and every Sunday morning with the other panelists there, Tom Dudzik, Liz Karandowicz, and a whole host of others, Joe Arizimowitz, on the Capitol Report, 10:30 on News 8. John, once again, great stuff. We'll talk to you next week, my friend. Thank you.
Thank you, Paul.
All right, John McKinney there right here on WICC.